back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Welcome back to the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm Marcos Mercado, along with my wife, Amaryllis. You can call her AM for short. This morning, we are talking about the topic of the temperature in your marriage. You know, what is the temperature? Is it hot, cold, or lukewarm? And we want to hear from you. So if you're in the Charlotte area, give us a call at 877-995-7644. Or in the Philadelphia area, you can call us at 215-263-1039. We're going to go ahead and go straight to our calls. We have some callers who've been patiently waiting here while we had a commercial break.
And hello.
We have Gretchen here from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. What is your question or comment this morning? If you can please just lower, do us a favor, and please turn off your radio at this time. We're getting a little feedback.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, good morning.
You're calling. I'm calling today because I have a question.
Okay.
I need some answers. I'm married for like 3 years, and then I've been separating from my husband for like 2 years. And then because he has a drug addiction, which is marijuana.
Okay.
And then the marriage's been wacky for like 2 years, back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I come to a point, like, I ask him to make a decision between me and the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He chose the marijuana.
Okay.
My question is that it hurts a lot because as a person, for another person to choose drugs over your wife that you married for life, I can't understand it. All I want to know is, like, should I move on? I don't know what to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Gretchen, first of all, we do want to say thank you so much for listening and for going ahead and being, you know, courageous enough to give us a call here. Question for you, though. Before you got married, did you know that he had a problem, a drug addiction problem?
No, I didn't know. People had told me, and I said no because I asked him. He said no. Because I even told him I will not marry somebody that smoke or heavy drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I will, even cigarette, I will not marry somebody like that. And even if I love you, in love with you, I will not marry that person. And he knew all along because he's been smoking for 20-some years.
Mm.
And I told him that. And after we got married, 2 years in the relationship, and he finally told me that he smoked.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Well, you know, it sounds like a lot of things are going on there. It sounds like there were some warning signs that you just didn't really want to, you know, believe other people, and you took him for his word. But my question is also, have you talked to him not just about the marijuana smoking, because, you know, we know that's illegal. It's wrong. It's immoral. You know, you're definitely defiling the temple. You know, we don't even have time to get into, you know, why it's so wrong. But besides that, like, how else has it affected your relationship? Have you even shared that with him yet?
Yes, I share with him all the time. I say, I don't like it, and it's not right. It's illegal, and I don't want to get into it. We can get in trouble. And I asked him so many times, and then, can you stop smoking? If you need help, I can help you stop smoking. He said he's not ready to stop smoking yet. When he's ready, he'll stop. So right now, he's not ready. I'm like, then you're not ready to be with me because you knew I wasn't going to marry somebody that smoked. And he chose to, he's like, I'm not ready to smoke. So if you're not ready to stay with me because I smoke, then I'm not ready to stop smoking yet. I just want to know what to do. Should I move on? Because I love him, but at the same time, he chose. I feel like he doesn't love me because he said he does, but if you choose marijuana over your wife for life, it's...
Sure, sure.
Gretchen, I have a question for you. What step have you taken so that he knows that you are serious about this, about him either quitting or making a decision about the marriage?
I don't really think I take any step. The only step that I took is that I'm like, because he's out right now. He's been separate for 2 years. He wanted to come back. And then he called me 2 weeks ago and said he wants to come back, make space for him, so to come back. And Monday he came to my house. I said, I'm willing to take you back, but you have to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. I can't accept you because I have 2 kids, 9 and 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A boy and a girl. So I said, I can't accept that in our home because I don't like it. And it's not good for a marriage because it gives a lot of trouble in the marriage. And right now I want to stand on my ground. But since then I haven't heard from him. Mm-hmm. He haven't called me and seen him. But he was supposed to move back on today.
Okay.
Together.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, it sounds, Gretchen, that you are definitely doing the right thing by putting your foot down.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, biblically, unless he's been immoral, has had, you know, an adulterous affair, I mean, you really don't have the grounds to divorce him, but you're doing the right thing by saying, you know what, you can't come back until you get some help, because it does affect you and it does affect the
kids,
children.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're doing the right thing. And you know what? You did your part. You know, you set that boundary. Now it's, you know, the ball's in his court. He's going to have to make a decision. You know, what is he going to do? And all you can do is, you know, pray, remain faithful. But, you know, don't compromise with that situation, because you're doing it, first of all, because you know it's wrong, and you're doing it because you're protecting you, yourself, and your family, which I believe is absolutely the right step to take. But in terms of, like, divorcing, moving on, I mean, unless he's been unfaithful, I mean, you can't. I mean, biblically, what you need to do is you just need to hope and pray that he decides to get some help. Again, unless, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and also Matthew chapter 5, when it talks about divorcing because of marital unfaithfulness. So unless you know that he was unfaithful or he confesses that to you, you're really not free to go ahead and divorce him and get married. Unless he decides he wants to divorce you, that's another story.
Okay.
All right, Gretchen, and we wish you the best, you know, but we do commend you for taking that step and being, you know, firm when it comes to that conviction, because it does affect you. It does affect your family.
Okay.
Well, God bless you, Gretchen. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right. Take care. We also have here Angel from the Philadelphia area, and she has actually... Angel, good morning.
Good
you want to share with us the temperature of your marriage?
Pardon?
I heard that you wanted to share with us just the temperature of your marriage. Is it hot, cold, or...
I do. My marriage is hot. I've been married for 3 years now, a little over, and I have a new baby. I actually wanted to call and share. I know that there was another caller that was on the line. And first off, thank you so much for having me on your show.
No, thank you. Angel, one quick sec. Is your radio on? If you can please just turn it off all the way.
Shut it off.
Yes, we're getting a little feedback there.
Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had you on speakerphone.
Oh, okay. We were hearing a little echo. We were just trying to figure out what that was. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, we
probably
hear you a lot better.
Shifting gears as I drive.
Oh, okay. You might want to pull over. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to pull over and talk to you because I definitely want to share a few things. I heard another caller that was talking, and she was saying how she was with her boyfriend for a while, and, you know, she's ready to get married. They're not really equally yoked. He believes in God. You know, but he's, you know, not really going to church with her.
Yes.
And I was in the similar situation with my husband. Before we had gotten married, and we were actually living together as well. And, you know, we just came to a point where conviction really had us. And we're like, you know, we wanted the fairy tale wedding and everything like that. And, you know, in the end, it's like, you know what, spend all that money for what? We might as well just go ahead and have something small, you know. And it was like a big weight that was just lifted off of our shoulders. Once we went ahead and got married, we had prayed on it. You know, we knew that we were meant to be married, you know, and we had gotten the go ahead. I mean, and then when we were getting married, we were short on cash, and just out of nowhere, just, you know, it's like, I don't want to say, you know, God made it rain on us, but, you know, he made a way for us to have a nice small wedding and a nice small reception.
Well, that's great.
You know, so as far as the woman that called, I know what she's going through, and I know how she feels.
Mm-hmm. You know,
she should just, I feel as though, you know, and if you're listening, please just pray for your boyfriend fast. And if push comes to shove and, you know, you guys don't, he doesn't want to get married right now, then I think that the household should definitely be separated and they should live in separate houses.
Absolutely.
Because the conviction is going to be absolutely crazy on the young lady that called in. I don't want her to get to the point where my husband and I were.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct. And you know what, Angel? It's so good that you share this because we know many couples who fall into the trap of, you know, we want to get married, but we just don't have the money right now, so we'll wait. And you know what? That's such a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? Usually there's not, I mean, come on. It's hard to put together thousands and thousands of dollars.
Exactly. You can use that money for a down payment on a house.
You sure could. I mean, some weddings, you could almost buy the house. I mean, you really could.
Exactly.
And so I really do want to encourage, you know, what you said, to be able to share with others. That they should take that leap of faith.
Yes.
Definitely. And the marriage is basically not for everybody else. Granted, it's nice to have people to celebrate and rejoice with you, but this is, you're doing it, you know, under God's roof,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's basically for God. And, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that my husband and I had decided to do at least something small, we would have been right at the justice of the peace.
Come on.
I do. Call it a day. We're right now. We're right under God's, you know, under God's rules. Because
yes.
We can't do both. You can't go to church and shack up. You know, you can't go to church and be unequally yoked in your household. It
yes.
just doesn't work that way, because in the end, everything is just going to turn to shreds.
Definitely.
And I'm sorry to say it that way, but I've experienced, you know, I'm a week shy of being 28, and you'd be surprised what my husband and I have been through together.
Well, mm-hmm. we could imagine. But we do want to thank you so much, Angel, for calling, for sharing that great testimony with us, and to be able
yes.
to inspire others. But we want to do, we do need to go on. We have plenty of callers just here just kind of itching
yes.
to get on the air. But we thank you for calling. We thank you for listening. We hope you
sure,
have a
sure, thank
day.
You. Thank you for having me.
Stay
and
hot.
We want to, you know, thank God as well for making, basically putting everything together in our lives, because without him, we would be nothing.
Yes.
That's correct. Thank you so much. Take care.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, once again, we do want to hear from you. We encourage you to give us a call at 877-995-7644 in the Charlotte area, or 215-263-1039 in Philadelphia. And also, for all those who are trying to reach us, there are many ways that you can find us. You can find us on Facebook, post something on our wall, or you can just type in Marriage Beyond the Vows and you can friend us on Facebook, or you can go up to our websites, praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com. And then finally, we just want to give you our email address if you prefer to just send us an email directly, and it's beyondvows@gmail.com, beyondvows@gmail.com. Now, we have our next caller here. It's Mary. Good morning, Mary. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Mary.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
Well.
You have a question or comment for us this morning?
I just have a comment about my marriage. I've been married for about 12 years now. And our marriage right now at 12 years, it's been hot.
Great.
But I can say the first 5 years, it was kind of rocky.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And after 12 years, I learned from my pastor that most marriages that go through trials and tribulations, there's a purpose.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm realizing my marriage has a purpose,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have our first child until after 5 years of our marriage. So we were able to enjoy each other after
That's
5 years. But during those 5 years, it was kind of rocky. Everybody came to us, tried to attack us. I even befriended a friend that the purpose was to destroy our marriage.
Mm.
But I did not realize that. I was so blinded by this friend that I did not understand what was her purpose.
Mm.
And then when I heard T.D. Jakes say last year, a couple years ago, friends come in our life for a purpose or a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Some are there for long term. Some are there for a particular way of doing things or to accomplish something, you know, just something like that. And I'm just starting to learn that that was the purpose of that friend that I befriended. Mm-hmm. My husband tell me over and over, but I was not hearing him mm-hmm. during those first 5 years. And then after we broke it off and we left the church and then we decided to come back 3 years ago, that's when God started revealing to me the purpose of our marriage.
Okay, well, great.
Now we have a 5-year-old daughter, and she was born out of purpose.
That's yeah, right.
That's right. That's so good.
And I'm not from North Carolina. I moved here, didn't know that until now, for a purpose. It's just our marriage is just great. I don't have any complaints.
That's great.
We are reading together.
That's great.
The power of a praying wife and power of the praying husband.
Great book.
That's great. That's great.
Now
I'm sorry, Mary.
I just brought the book, The Power
Mary.
Of the Praying Parent.
There you go, Mary. I'm sorry. We appreciate your zeal and enthusiasm in sharing so much. Unfortunately, we do have so many more people who want to get on the air here, but we do want to say thank you so much for sharing. The fact that you had a purpose in your marriage and that helped to turn it around. So, Mary, God bless you. And we hope and pray that you have many more years of just having a hot marriage with your husband. God bless
sure.
you.
Sure.
God bless you. Thank you. All right. We also have Junior on the line, or JR, I'm sorry, JR here from North Carolina. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? JR?
Gary.
Oh, it's Gary. Okay. Oh, Gary, here from New Jersey. You're live on the air. What's your question or comment?
Well, I just wanted to. Well, this is about the marriage vows, right?
Yes, it's marriage beyond the vows.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, like, you know, me and my wife, we were together 6 years, had 2 kids before we got married, and we got married and were together for 3 years. Right now, we're separated.
Mm-hmm.
And the preacher had said to me, like, you know, a lot of relationships and a lot of marriages aren't working out because people aren't starting their marriages in a godly way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you start your marriage in a godly way, not living together until you get married, not having sex with each other until you get married, I think a lot of things will work out better.
That's true.
A lot of people will tell you number one thing you have to have in a marriage is trust. Well, if you're living your marriage through God, the trust is going to be there. The number one thing these days you need in a relationship and in a marriage is communication. Without
mm-hmm.
communication, without listening, without honoring the husband, and without loving your wife as you do the church, you know, things won't work out in your marriage.
So, mm-hmm. JR, do you feel like that is what really you would say that caused your marriage to go south, is the fact that there wasn't really a trust there?
I feel like there wasn't no communication in my marriage. That's why it's not mm-hmm. working out. Like, you know, one person is putting out all the love and listening to a person and respecting a person, then the other person, just because they're the breadwinner, they feel like they don't have to listen. Like, I wasn't working because I had, you know, certain situations where I couldn't work. I mean, I don't feel like getting into it all right now. It's just that I caught a drug charge and I couldn't work. You know, you take 7 years up here. I don't know how it is in Carolina, but people don't hire you until 7 years. They want to see if you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a stay-at-home father, and I feel like God put me in that position because he knew that I was the better parent. But at the same time, when you have a lot of people on the outside looking in who really don't know both sides of the story, and you have, you know, a lot of demons telling this person, oh, well, you're the one who's working. You're the one who's taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. Why does he care? Well, this is the reason why I care, because, it's, you know, there's not two incomes here, there's one, so listen to what I have to say. And, you know, if like, you know, I asked her one day, how many times did you have to be mad at me for not listening to you?
Absolutely.
She couldn't answer the question. And mm-hmm. I said, now, how many times did I have to be mad at you for not listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you have to listen to each other, you have to communicate. And it's not like listening, like, commandments, you know, make demands and all that stuff. You just have to, you know, listen to what a person has to say. And if a person feels a certain type of way about something,
Try
to respect that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, JR, we do appreciate your call here. And we're sorry that you went on that, you know, Gary, that you went on to that, you know, that things did not work out in your relationship. But we do hope and pray that there's still hope, you know, that you are able to get back together with your wife.
Yeah, well,
reconcile.
Like, now, I go to church now, and she don't want to go to church. So, you know, if that's the case, then I'm ready to end it anyway. I just wanted your listeners to know who are still married or still together that just listen to each other, communicate with each other, and you go through God, the trust will be there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Gary, and we hope and pray that you have a great, great day.
You too.
God bless.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's really sad, you know, when people do kind of stray away from the scriptures and then you see it mm-hmm. in their marriage. And it does affect, you know, it's kind of a lie from Satan to expect, hey, we're going to do things our way, but it's going to work out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually doesn't. You know, the Bible talks about that, making sure that your home and your house is built on rock and not on sand when those difficult times do come. You know, we're getting ready to go into another call here, actually. I'm trying to figure out here. We have JR here on the phone, and we want to encourage you to give us a call as well at 877-995-7644 if you're in the Charlotte area, or 215-263-1039. This is Praise, and you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows with Marcos, along with my wife, Amaryllis. And our next caller is JR here. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, JR.
Oh. Hello?
Yes, hello.
This is Tanya in Charlotte.
Oh, Tanya
good
in
morning,
Charlotte.
Tanya.
Okay, no problem. It sounds like we got the call. We got a little.
I always listen to your show. It's so nice. I'm glad you all are on the air. And good morning, Amaryllis.
Yes, you got it.
Is that a flower?
It is.
I thought so. I saw one. It was pretty. I believe you probably look as beautiful as the flower.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to say I was calling in about just to give some advice about marriage.
Come on.
Husband and I have been married for about 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
We both have always been in Christ, but I thought that just praying about different situations that things will automatically work out, but that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to communicate with each other. And, well, I guess that kind of keeps both of you on the same page.
Yes.
Even if you don't agree, at least you know where the other person stands.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to say is don't let bitterness and strife, well, don't let strife let bitterness set in. Mm-hmm. Just even if you don't agree with the other person, come together and agree to disagree quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happened with my husband and I. We just let so many small things destroy our marriage through not communicating. We're separated right
mm-hmm.
now, but it seems like we both are communicating a lot better now that we are separated.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe God is going to work things out. But I'm kind of glad things happened like they did, because we are much closer now than we have been for about 6 years.
Great.
So I still love him. He loves me, and I think that's what gives me hope, is to know that I feel like I truly know him, and I know that he loves me, even if, you know, the circumstances aren't as they should be.
Yes.
But it gives me faith to believe that God is able.
Absolutely, absolutely, Tanya. And we thank you so much. You know, you shared about the importance of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like, you know, you're on your way to allowing God to work there because of the communication that you and your husband have during this time. And so we want to thank you so much for sharing that with us. And
well,
we hope you continue to have a great day and continue to listen to us.
I will.
Listen
definitely.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Okay. Can I say one thing about forgiveness?
You know what? We do, but we would love to hear from you. We
send
want to
us
encourage
an email.
You. Send us an email.
Okay.
beyondvows@gmail.com. We just have to hurry up, and we have actually a break. We need to take a break, a pause for the cause in just a moment. And we want to encourage you. Give us a call if you're in Charlotte, 877-995-7644 or 215-263-1039 in Philadelphia. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, and we are grateful you patiently waited for us to return here. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. This is Marcos Mercado, along with my wife, Amaryllis. And today we're talking about the temperature of your marriage. Is it hot, cold, or lukewarm? We also ask you to give us an email, and we actually have time to go through one right here, right now, and then we'll go back to our phone calls in just a moment. This one says, I want to say you gave great advice to the woman, Edra, who did not seem willing to accept your righteous advice about obeying God and taking a stand and not being unequally yoked. I want to give my testimony as a married woman who had to take a stand against my husband. When we got married, neither of us was obeying God. However, I rededicated my life to the Lord and grew into a radical relationship and intimacy with God. He was not willing to grow in Christ and with me and still living a life according to the flesh and not the Spirit and the Word of God. And this caused him to leave. Romans 12:18 and 2 Corinthians 7 also gave me peace in this decision. It was about 1.5 years, and I wanted to get a divorce, start a new relationship, or just accept the marriage as it is. But nothing good was coming out of us staying together. So I'm trusting God, and he gave me the scripture, Psalm 27, verse 14. We have children grown watching, and the youngest being 17. And I pray that what I'm doing will cause them, as well as my husband, to grow as in a relationship with God. It goes on and says Proverbs 3 and 6 also says, I am willing to continue to do what Romans 12 says and my life grounded in the scriptures. I have picked up many other scriptures that are keeping me through the season in life. Thank you for all you do and continue to preach and teach the principles of the Word of God. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And it sounds like this person decided to be anonymous. They said that they're going through a hard time, but they're taking a stand and the husband actually left. And our hope and prayer is that as she takes this stand, you know, my encouragement also to this writer here, to the person that sent this email, is to remain faithful, but don't be preaching to your husband. You know, mm-hmm. really live your life. Show it by your example. It sounds like he already knows that you are trying to put the scriptures into practice. And so let your light shine with that. You know, we're not saying don't ever talk about God, but don't try to sit them down or corner them and say, you got to do this. Like, don't Bible bash. Really let your beauty come from within, the way the Bible says. Amen. Honey, I know before we go back to our callers, you had a few more here on the list of how to keep your marriage hot. And what we're up to number 6, I believe.
Yes. Don't take it for granted. You know, plan small getaways. You know, they could be spontaneous. They could be last minute deals. They could be, you know, just even in your own home. You know, last night we had an incredible time. Just my husband and I. The kids were not home, and that was our little getaway at home.
The kids were with grandma. Thank you, grandma. I think she's listening. Thank you, mom, for taking our kids, and we had a little getaway in our own haven.
Yes. Make it creative. You know, number 7, make yourself attractive for your spouse. It doesn't end when you get married. You got to look better and make sure that you're keeping up with yourself.
And don't let yourself go. You know, you want to be able to say, I love to tell people this is my wife, and I have a beautiful wife. And I want her that way. Can you imagine if she just let herself go and I'm like, oh, this is my wife, you know, that I'd be embarrassed to share it. You know, I want to be able to be proud. Honey, you're beautiful. You're attractive. But I love the fact that you take care of yourself. Sometimes I'll joke about it. I say, people are going to think I'm with someone else because she changes her hair color from time to time. So I'm like, I want to make sure people know this is my wife. It's the same woman that I've had for almost 12 years now. And I really want people to know we are happily married. But, you know, you keep up with yourself, and that means a lot. And so we'll come back before the end of the show with the last few there of how to stay hot tips. We are right now, we're going back to our callers. We are going to Keith in Philadelphia. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Keith, can you do us a favor, please? If you could turn your radio down, we're getting a little feedback there.
Okay. Good morning.
All right, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yeah, I was... We're talking about cold and hot and lukewarm. My marriage is hot. But I'm listening to some of the callers, and I don't hear anybody trusting God.
Okay.
Mm.
See, I'm in 25 years of marriage.
Amen.
Well, that's good.
But I've been saved for 3 years. But my wife trusted God that he was going to bring me in.
Mm.
She trusted her. I was off the chart. I mean, things I was doing was unbelievable. She never left me. She never forsake me. She just trusted God that he was going to bring me in. And in 2007, God opened my eyes and showed me my wife for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And my marriage has been outstanding ever since. You know, I hear this lady talking about her husband was addicted to weed and she gave him an ultimatum. It doesn't sound like you're trusting God if you're living in the flesh to me.
Mm-hmm. So you think she should take her husband back, and then he's smoking weed, and it might affect her and even the kids?
I was smoking weed. My wife trusted God. You can't trust the flesh.
Absolutely.
You can never trust the flesh, because now Satan did his job. He broke that family up, and he used marijuana to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
There's nothing stronger than God's word. Nothing. I was doing, I'm not doing any of those things now.
That's great.
And it was because my wife trusted God to bring me in.
So could you want to share a little bit of how she did that? Like what you mean by she trusted God?
She stayed in prayer.
Okay. So
she stayed in prayer. She prayed to God, and she woke up excited every day that God had delivered me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, great.
Yeah, she woke up every day thanking God for delivering me. And some days I didn't even know what she was talking about.
Okay. There you go.
Yes.
She was praying and she was thanking God delivered. For what she knew God was going to do.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, Keith.
And now we're 25 years into marriage. She could have easily said, well, he's addicted to marijuana. I'm not going to mess with him anymore. Oh, he's smoking cocaine. I'm not going to mess with him anymore. Oh, he's not working. I'm not going to deal with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she trusted God every day.
Mm-hmm.
That he would deliver me, and he has.
Well, we really do commend your wife for being faithful and for praying for you. And Keith,
yeah.
We do want to thank you so much for sharing that great story about your wife just praying for you every single day. You know, that's a great testimony. So
mm-hmm.
we thank you so much for listening. We thank you for calling.
Okay.
God bless, Keith. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that in a way you got to look at situation by situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the caller, Edra, was referring how her kids were kind of like in danger, and her life was in danger in terms of, you know, the drug abuse, the drug use.
And you know what? The Bible always says that we're never tempted beyond what we can mm-hmm. bear. And so although it's not rooms for divorce, there are some stands you can take. And we
yes.
know that with drug addiction is one of those things that, you know, there are so many different type of addicts. You have addicts that are functioning addicts. You have some that actually are working, they provide, and then they can keep it a secret. There are others that it just totally disrupts their lives. You know, and either way, it's destructive, but there are some things that people can handle and there are some things that they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And what they need to protect above everything else, the Bible says, above all, guard your heart, for it's mm-hmm. the wellspring of life, meaning that you got to protect your relationship with God and your family. And so we tell couples all the time, I've sat with couples, and you have with me as well, Amaryllis, and we've sat with couples who are just not getting along, and their kids see how
yes.
bad it is, and it's hurting them even more. Sometimes in those situations, it's better for them to even separate, get resolved, get fixed, then come back together the right way, because they're damaging their family.
Mm-hmm.
They're destroying so much. And so, you know, it really is, you know, depending on the situation you're in. So in this case, we're not telling you that if your spouse is addicted to something, to abandon them. We're not
mm-hmm.
saying that. But in some cases, we're also saying, make sure you take a stand and you draw some boundaries. So,
yes.
you know, we hope and pray that you have pray for the wisdom and discernment to know what to do in that situation and get lots of advice. The Bible says, you know, with many, many advisors, victory
nice.
Is certain.
Yep.
We're going to go ahead and continue on here with our phone calls. We have Chantel from the Philadelphia area. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good
Hello,
morning.
Everyone out there. My name is Chantel, and I'm from Philadelphia, and I've been listening, coming into work this morning on Saturday, and I just wanted to call in and say to everyone who are married, will be married, thinking about getting married, please keep God first in all things that you do.
Yes.
Do not mistreat, disrespect, stop caring for one another. Just love one another and accept one another unconditionally. But all things that you have to keep God first in everyday living. Men, love your wives. Women, love your husbands. And continue to love your children. I've been married, was married for a long time, and I'm now a divorced parent. I'm a single mom. what? I continue to make it happen for my children and me. Even though my marriage went sour due to the fact of adultery and trust, untrusty things, God was good, and he's still working on me and him. And I just want to say, please keep God first in all things that y'all do in life, and don't ever give up on one another, no matter what the circumstances. Continue to keep him first. Continue to pray. I'm a strong believer of a family that prays together stays together.
Thank you so much. Well, Chantel, we appreciate your encouragement, your zeal, you know, to put God first in your life. So we thank you so much for calling. Thank you for listening and continue to listen.
Thanks for the encouragement. And everyone out there, have a blessed day, and blessings to all marriage couples or soon-to-be marriage couples. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's so encouraging to hear, you know, callers who, no matter what they go through, they stay positive, they stay faithful. And her encouragement here is just to put God first. I love it. I love it. You know, I want to share another passage here because, you know, we are talking about how with the temperature of your marriage and, you know, how could you prevent it from turning cold? You know, I think most marriages start off hot. I mean, that honeymoon stage, that decision, you know, that ceremony. Hey, you know, we love, we're going to have the rest of our lives together. Sometimes you even hear, you know, people who are so optimistic and so romantic where they're like, you know, we might not even have money, but we have love, we have each other. And then, bam, reality sets in. And I love this passage. The Bible says in Genesis 29, verse 20, it says, so Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seem like only a few days to him because of his love for her. You know, there are not many places in the Bible that you see this, because in the Old Testament times and even in the New Testament, the early days, there were so many arranged marriages. So people didn't really choose their spouse for the most part. And so they didn't have that courting stage all the time. It's not like we do today. And so sometimes people learn to love each other, but they weren't initially in love. But in this particular passage, Jacob served 7 years. He worked hard to get his wife, and it took 7 years before he can get her. As a matter of fact, if you go back to that scripture, actually it took 14 years to get his wife. But it says it seemed only like a few days because of his love. And that also reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says that love is patient. And so I want to encourage you, you know, your marriage right now may be lukewarm. It may be turning cold, but it be could patient change. And it can change. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The Bible does say that 1,000 years is like a day to God, and a day is like 1,000 years, meaning that, you know, it might seem like this infinite amount of time and struggle that you're going through in your relationship, but it can turn around if you persevere. And we've heard from many, many callers today who've said, you know what? The difference has been that we've persevered. We've been through the hard times, and now it's made us better and it's helped our marriage. Amen. You know, we also have here, we have Sharon from Salem, New Jersey. Sharon, you're listening to Praise. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're live on the air. You have a comment or question for us.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to make a comment and just to say that my marriage is hot. We've been married for 2 years, and we just seek the Lord, and we just trust in the Lord. And, you know, I have to be submissive, you know, not sexually, but just, you know, fall up under my husband's authority and to build him up and just to trust him and just know that he is the head and God is going to, you know, just deliver him and bring us all up and bring us out together.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Sharon, you know, we thank you. We love to hear when marriages are hot. If you had one thing to say, a word of advice to all our listeners, how to keep your marriage hot, what would you say? The one main thing.
I would say, seek God first. It says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all of those things will be added unto you.
Thank you.
Seek God first.
And that's Matthew 6, verse 33. So put God first. That's the secret to being able to have a hot marriage. Well, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing that scripture and those words of encouragement with us.
Yes, have a good day. God bless.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So we also have Wayne from Philadelphia. Wayne, you're live on the air on Praise.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. And yourself?
My name is Wayne from Philadelphia. Listen to what y'all were saying on the radio about the marriage. I've been married for 4 years. I'm divorced now. Okay. And I understand, you know, when marriage, we put this guy first. But the problem is that, you know, God said marriage is based on adultery. Now, I think grounds based on adultery, but I never cheated. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel as though that in the marriage that we had no communication.
Okay. So there was no infidelity, you say, on your part. Are you still with us here?
Yes.
Okay, I thought we lost you for a moment. So you're saying that there was a lack of communication, there was no adultery, and that caused the marriage. Okay.
And we wasn't getting that communication going because of the marriage. You know, she had two kids by they wasn't not my kids, it was two kids by another.
A previous relationship?
Man. Yeah, she had another relationship, you know, both of her kids were had two different fathers.
Okay.
So, you know, I feel as though that, you know, in that marriage, it should have been a little stronger than what it is. Now, this is Christian.
Okay.
Now, Christian marriage.
Okay.
We both are Christian. We both go to the same church. I have recently left the church right now because of the fact that I can't focus on God. And seeing that God allowed his marriage to come apart, but I'm not blaming God for it. I'm blaming the lack of her for it because she didn't communicate, you know, and let me know what was going on and why you didn't want this marriage,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, one thing I want to say here, Wayne, before you continue, is that one of the things we encourage people to do all the time is to focus on what they can do, because it's very easy to point the finger and say, you know, this is what they could have done or it's their fault. But you know what? It does take two to tango. And there's always, always in every situation, something that we can learn from, that we can do different. You know, Romans chapter 5 even talks about in terms of building your character. And this time, unfortunately, the difficult time helps you to build your character. I want to share this passage with you. Romans 5 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Meaning that, you know, you are learning, you're going to persevere through this. It says you stopped going to church. You mentioned to us that you stopped going to church. My encouragement to you.
I didn't stop going to church. I still go to church, but I go to a different church.
Oh, okay. I thought you just said you stopped going to church. Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. So, but my encouragement to you is even during this time, like as you reflect, and it's unfortunate, you know, that your marriage did not work out because of the lack of communication, but really ask God to show you what you could have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's one thing that you can say that perhaps you could have done better, what you think that would be? Not your wife, but you.
What could I have done better?
Yes.
I could have learned to listen a little more.
Okay.
I would say learn to listen a little more. You know, I didn't listen a little more.
Okay. Well, Wayne, we thank you so much, and we appreciate you being honest and open with us, and we hope and pray that God continues to comfort you and strengthen you and help you to persevere during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for calling. God bless
you.
Wayne.
God bless you.
Take care. Bye. You know, honey, I know we said we're going to go back to some of these this list here of how to keep your marriage hot. Where are we now? We're number eight. Number eight. Tell us.
Lift your spouse when talking with others, not just in private. You know, lift him up. You know, talk how great he is, and you know, really praise him for the great things that he's doing at home or in the marriage or with the kids or in the ministry, whatever area might be.
So just praise your spouse when they're not around. You know, it's funny how words like that get back to the person. I love it when people come to me and they're like, you know, your wife, I've never met you, but your wife shares so many great things about you. It just makes me feel good. Or vice versa. You know, I love to share about my wife. You know, the other side is true as well. If you always share negative things, even if they're with your family, your girlfriends, and you know, women tend to do this a lot. They call their girlfriends just to complain about their spouse. And then what do you think that they're going to, what is their impression going to be of your man, you know? It's like he's a jerk. He's a bum. Every time, you know, you share about him, it's horrible. So praise them as well. You know, maybe they're not perfect. I'm sure they're not because no one is. But what about the good things they do? You know, encourage them. I know it means a lot to me. Honey, I know you put that into practice so much. It means a lot. So that's a great tip there of how to keep your marriage hot. What else do you have for us?
Have spiritual time together. Pray together. Read your Bible together. You know, fast together. I mean, do different things that are drawing each other closer, not just to each other, but with God, to God.
And I think one of our callers mentioned, they said, you know, they believe that the couples that pray together stay together. And I've heard that for family as well. The family, it makes a difference. You know, putting God in the center of everything does make a difference. And I love praying with you. Good times and bad times. Sometimes we pray just to thank God, and other times we're praying, God, help us. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we pray together and then we get to see God answer those prayers together makes such a difference. And then last but not least,
spice up the bed.
Say that again?
Spice up the bed.
So are you going to put some salsa on the bed? What are you
going to do? Some adobo, you know, whatever you need to do. You know, some candles, you know, some nice lingerie, you know, just decorate the room. Just get creative.
Spice it up. I love that. You know, it's not spicing up your bed, you know, keeping it pure, but spicing it up. It's not just for the honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
It is for everything. You know, you should look forward to going to bed together. It shouldn't be like, oh, you know, I'll see you later. It's like, man, I can't wait to come home. I can't wait for us to be together. And not just in that intimate time, but just the friendship, the way that we can encourage one another. You know, it's been a great, great show. We thank so much. We want to say thank you for all the listeners. We want to thank so much all the callers just sharing. You know, we talked about how to keep the marriage hot. You know, what is the temperature of your marriage right now? We want to encourage you. If it's not hot and it's just cold or lukewarm, it's not the end of the world. You know, you can change it. You can fix it. And we also want to encourage you. You know, we have a special show, a special guest next week. We're going to be talking about Did You Marry a Wolf? We have a special guest, Katrina Clark, who wrote a book, The Day I Met a Wolf. She has an amazing story to share with us. You know, a wolf. So are you married to a wolf yourself? You know, sometimes it can be someone that looks good, sounds good. Everything looks right until you say I do. And then you find out who they really are and what they're trying to get from you. So we want to encourage you. Continue to listen to Marriage Beyond the Vows every Saturday morning from 8 to 10. And it was great to have you. So peace and love to all of you. Thank you for listening. This is Praise, your inspiration station.